address a topic that is very dear to my heart this morning, and we should do so. It is my hope, it is my trust that we do so in an honest, candid way, such that people are able to get the help that they need. Those of you who don't know me, my name is Nthabise Ngwepe. I am a pastor. I am an author of a book titled The Mending of a Broken Vessel. I am an entrepreneur, and yes, I am a suicide survivor. So I'm certain that we have all read what has been reported in the media of late, and I'm definitely sure that it has struck a chord in most of us, you know. So I was in prayer this morning, and I just felt the need to really just address the issue of suicide. I am a suicide survivor myself, not once, multiple suicide attempts I had on my life. So I am hoping that this conversation, you know, will in some way help someone. Let's open the conversation. Let's talk candidly. Let's be open about what we are facing in society. And that is what I hope to achieve by bringing this conversation to your walls, to your platforms. You can also tune in on Instagram. I'm also streaming live there. I'm also going to be uploading this video on my YouTube channel, Nthabise Ngwepe TV. It's the link, it's already on all my social media platforms. So ladies and gentlemen, I want to open up this discussion by something that is documented in my book, The Mending of a Broken Vessel. I hope that we can show, you can see the book is there in the book stores. The book is almost everywhere. So those of you who don't have the book, please do make an effort to get it. This is not a stand to promote the book, but this is a conversation that is documented in the book. And I'm hoping that we are opening the platform to be candid with one another. I'm going to read for you my own experience, and I'm going to open the conversation that you can send your Q&A, your questions, and I will try to answer them, and so that we can get the help for someone who really needs to hear this. The first attempt to end my life, I entertained after the long evening when I had slept on the floor while visiting my boyfriend. When I left the next morning, I resolved to end it all by throwing myself in front of a moving bus. As we walked to the bus stop on my way back to varsity, I took the decision to go home instead, to see my daughter one last time and end it all. To me, life was no longer living. That's no longer worth living. I'm reading from page 55 of the book, The Mending of a Broken Vessel. Now, suicide is very real. A suicidal spirit is very real. Suicide, according to me, my own experience, is that it is the oppression of the mind. I'm reading from an experience that first took place when I was in my late 19, I would say late teens. I was, I think, 19 or 20 at the time. When I wanted to end my life. I probably was younger. And it became a thought that came across my mind when I was dumped by a boyfriend. And from there on, it spiraled in my life a course of suicidal thoughts that would, you know, comfortably step into my life and disappear. Randomly come into my life and disappear. So I spend most of my adulthood battling with suicide. I'm still battling with suicide. Yes, some people wonder, how do you battle with suicide? You're a pastor, you're an author, and some can say you're a successful attorney. Suicide does not discriminate. It is, in fact, the pressures of one's success that causes one to drift into a suicidal state. And I'm asking myself now, as we've read about you know, two prominent figures this year who have taken their own lives. And I asked myself, what are we not doing? What are we not saying? What conversations are we not having? What support are we not giving? I've observed through my own life that people are very quick when one has problems to laugh at one's problems. No one knows what really one is going through. So when one is going through a difficult time, it's very difficult for one to reach out to people who in earnest can help that person. In most instances, we are a generation that is, you know, happy on social media fronts, happy on all incomes, but in the depth of our spirits, in the depth of our being, we carry so much. It ranges from hurt, it ranges from rejection, it ranges from stress, it ranges from depression, and all of this mostly come about as a result of high expectations that we have on ourselves, by others, on us, sometimes even by the world, by the standards of the world. They project to us what success is. They project to us what the level of one's making it is. So when you are in a state where you feel I am failing in any way, be it in what you have set for yourself as a goal, be it in what you want to achieve for yourself, you know, be it that you want to achieve it for yourself, or you want to achieve it to outsmart others, or you want to achieve it for your peers, but the stress of that, you know, the fact that you say, I want to achieve this, and the failure of one not achieving that goal, it may lead to one viewing themselves as a failure and then going into a depressive mind state. So a depressive mind state says to someone, this problem that you have is bigger than everything else that surrounds you. Your problem becomes bigger than life itself. It becomes bigger than the support system around you. It becomes bigger than the success that you have already achieved. It becomes bigger than your children, than your marriage, than any other thing that you have ever accomplished. So in other words, a suicidal mind does not have the ability to comprehend anything else but the problem that it is faced with. In my book, I write this. I say that a suicidal mind believes what experience says to it. It pays more attention to the voice of the experience than what the voice of God says about it. If a person is not rooted in Christ in the word, then they become more impatient with life. In other words, you become impatient with your failures. You become impatient with yourself. You don't view your failures as a learning curve. You don't view your failures as a step forward. Because inevitably, with every failure comes a lesson. So one is unable to even learn from that failure. Why? Because a suicidal mind says, this is it. You know, I have failed. Nothing more can ever come out of this. What is the world going to say about me? What are my friends going to say about me? What about those around me? What are they going to say about me? I've experienced that numerous things can lead to a suicidal mind. For some, financial reasons. And amongst men, this seems to be a leading cause. The fact that society says that a man must provide. The fact that society says a man must do X, Y, Z. The fact that as women, we tend to look to men to provide for us. So we are not able to comprehend the pressure that accompanies that expectation. When you expect some things from someone who's not able to provide them, then it becomes a burden on them. Then it starts oppressing their mind. So all they think about is that, I'm unable to do this for my girlfriend. I'm unable to do this for my family. I'm unable to do this for my parents. I'm unable to do this. I'm unable to provide for this. So sooner or later, the best solution becomes cashing out, checking out. I would rather not live in this state than live at all. For some, a depressive mind comes from instability and lack of peace in the home. When you come from a home that lacks peace, when you come from a home of constant strife, of constant fighting, of constant rejection, constant disappointments, you get to a place where you start feeling that, you know, the best thing for me is to get out of this life. And that becomes the case when people have nothing else to look forward to, believe in nothing else, hope for nothing else, trust in nothing else but their circumstances and what surrounds them. I've observed also, I've experienced this in my own life, where my inability to provide for my children caused me to make a third attempt on my life. I've experienced the part where the lack of peace as well caused me to almost take my life. This I talk about candidly in my book, where my second marriage also had its own difficulties. And as a result, I wanted to end my life. So it's easy when you are not experiencing problems, or when you are not walking in the shoes of someone who is walking in those problems daily, that you can say, but why didn't they do this? Why didn't they reach out? Why didn't they tell someone? Half the time, there is a silent voice. There is a whisper. There is a subtle. It's not even silent. It's very subtle. If you look at the lyrics, for example, of the song that was written by Ricky Rick, you can see it's a reflex. If you look at, for example, my own life, you know, drifting in and out of alcoholism, you know, it was a way of trying to cope, but I couldn't cope. You know, on the forefront, I exhibited a very happy exterior. When people met me, they say, she's very bubbly. She's very, she's always smiling. She loves people. But within myself, I was crying. I was bleeding. Some may have noticed, but some may not have noticed. So what I'm trying to say is that oftentimes we need to take the time to really speak and engage to people. Because if you engage to someone, if you connect with them and have that conversation of, you know, how are you? We tend to say to people, and we are programmed, I suppose, in a way, to say, how are you? I'm fine, thank you, and how are you? And that's the random response we give. But are we really fine? Or are we living in a society that encourages us to be fine, where speaking about your problems exposes your vulnerabilities and it puts you as a target out there? Are we living in a society that makes you a laughing stock of other people when you are experiencing difficulties? Are we living in a society that thrives on the failures of other people? In a way, I believe that the reason that we are having a lot of suicide mentalities going on in our people is because the nature of the society that we live in, the nature of the environment that we are in, it thrives on failures. It thrives on scandals. It thrives on what one has failed to achieve in life. So the instant someone fails to achieve something, they become a laughing stock. We are not in a generation that is supportive. We are not in a world that is. We all speak about it. We all say reach out, but we live in an environment that when one reaches out, your issues will be posted about on social media. Your issues will be posted about in the next newspaper. Your issues will be across every person who has the time to stop and to listen. That is the world we are living in. So as a result, we take into secrecy the greatest difficulties that we have. If I have problems with my husband at home, I better not talk about it or share it with anyone. If I have problems with at work, I shouldn't discuss it or share it with anyone. If my business is not doing well, I shouldn't discuss it with anyone. Why? Because I am giving someone ammunition against me. I am giving someone something to go and tell people about my life. So secrecy, I wish we could realize, is an environment that thrives or that nurtures suicidal minds. It is an environment that encourages one to take one's life. If we are able to present a platform, even if it's not a national platform, even if it's not a public platform, if we become the platform ourselves, where people can speak about their difficulties without a fear of judgment, without fear of relegation, and by relegation I mean that being demoted from one social standing to a lower social standing. Because if I'm having financial difficulties, in all essence, I should be able to adjust my life without fearing what other people are going to say about me. If I'm having problems in my marriage, I should be able to reach out to my pastor, to a psychologist, to a counselor, without fearing, or even family, without fearing what other people are going to say about me. The nature of the environment that we live in, we have created an environment that does not support sharing one's problems. In fact, we take a person's problems and we share them with the whole world. So as a result, we nurture and water secrecy. We nurture and water secrecy on a daily basis. In my own life, on all the attempts that I made on my life, I never told anyone. And I am saying this because when I started this video, I said, I still at times do battle with suicide. Why? Because it is something that my mind knows all too well. I have been suicidal for the better part of my adult years. As I said, I've documented this in the book. So I'm not speaking of anything new. I'm not speaking on anything that I fear someone will go out there and speak about. I am saying that for the better part of my adulthood, my mind has been very comfortable with the thought of taking my life. So each time that I come across difficulty, the first place for my mind to run to, it's that little corner where it is comfortable. The corner of, I can check out at any time. The corner of, I don't need to live through this embarrassment. I need to end this by ending my life. That is the comfort place of my mind. So it becomes important then for me to have something that I believe in, to have something that I trust in, to have something that I can look forward to and hope for. That will say to me, your tomorrow will be better. That will say to me, you know, despite the difficulties that you're facing, you can overcome. That will say to me, it may be gloomy now, but there's hope in the morning. It may be dusty now. Things may not be very clear, but it's definitely going to improve. That is where it becomes important that we have people and surround ourselves with people who can reaffirm us daily. People who can say to us, it's going to be okay. Have someone to confide in. It need not be many people. It need not be someone that you are close to. But it needs to be someone that you know, when you have coughed out whatever you need to say, they are not going to take it out to the world and post about it. That is what you need to have. Relationships can assist someone who is suicidal to save their lives. If you become that person who they can run to, that can be a shoulder for them to cry on, then you have already affirmed them. Because love is crucial in the issue of suicide. Where one feels no one loves me, no one cares for me, no one will mind when I'm gone, no one will care when I'm dead. That's what says my life is not worth living at all. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm hoping that with this conversation, we start to reflect on ourselves. Am I someone that a person in difficulty can talk to? Am I someone that a person experiencing hardships can speak to? Am I someone that a person who is burdened, you know, on their mind with work issues, with family issues, with difficulties about their children can talk to? Or am I not approachable at all? When we decide to become a shoulder for someone to cry on, we are being kind. We are showing love. We are showing acceptance in a world that is filled with rejection. People are rejected because of lack of finances. When you used to have money and suddenly you don't have money anymore, that is a ground for rejection in the world that we live in. When you are married and you suddenly are not married anymore, that is grounds for rejection in the world that we live in. When you are in matric and you are expected to pass and you don't make it, That is a ground for rejection in the world that we live in. We are at a place in the generation that we are in, no longer where statistics must tell us, no longer where someone else needs to die for us to react. And it is sad that we have to read across the media that someone has taken their lives not so long after Baba Shai took his own life. So that we are now reacting, that we are now posting, that we are now saying, but how, but why? But we go back to the songs released, and there was a cry. And we go back to the social media posts, there was a cry. Did any of us reach out? Did any of us say something? Did any of us provide a shoulder to cry on? Did any of us make the call and say, bro, I'm here for you. Sister, I'm here for you. When you see a post that is concerning to you on social media, even about someone that you do not know, when you read it and it tells you this person's mind is depressed, this person's mind is not seeing a way out, reach out. Even if it's by messenger, you don't need to know someone in order to save their life. What you need to do is to have reaffirming words. Because right now, the stats, it's not a matter of the stats are high. It's a matter of who is the next one. It's a matter of when are we going to hear about the next one amongst us who has taken their lives. You know, right now we are speaking about two prominent people in South Africa. It's only February who have taken their lives. It's only February. In less than 8 weeks into the year 2022, two prominent people have taken their lives. I don't want to even entertain those people who are not prominent that we do not hear of. You know, people who take their lives in the villages every day. People who take their lives in the suburbs every day that the media doesn't report on. That we are not told how they died. We just know that they died. The rate of suicide is uncontrollable. And this life that we are living, social media, the platforms that we have created are contributing as well to that. The pressure to post my life. The pressure to show my success. The pressure to show how rich I am. The pressure to show how successful I am. When those things turn and it is no longer what we have presented to the world, some people see it as a way out. I read in my book and I quoted on my own struggle with suicide. And I can tell you this, and I know someone doesn't want to hear this. Suicide is a spirit. It comes into your life, drifts in, walks in, and it whispers, take your life. That is what I observe with me. Take your life. If you entertain it, remember this, a suicidal mind is not having its full senses. And I wrote about this and I said, being in a suicidal state, I was not in my full senses. Had I been, I would have viewed it as intimidation. Why? Because the circumstances and the difficulties that you are in come and intimidate your life. They come and intimidate your peace. They come and intimidate your state of being. And they tell you, this is big. It's bigger than anything else. So as a result, you feel, I cannot get out of this hole. I want to end my life. I was intimidated by circumstances surrounding my life at the time. They neutralized me in such a way that I saw no way out. The only way out for me was to end it so that I no longer have to face the giant. Yes, the giant. Your problem becomes a giant. It becomes the Goliath that is standing before you. No matter how small it is, no matter how minute it is, to a suicidal mind, that problem is a mountain. Nothing can outweigh that problem. Nothing can outlive that problem. That problem is the biggest thing that they face. And as a result, they say, rather than face this mountain, I would rather die. And in my own life, I have experienced this. So because of the constant voice that is constantly rearing its ugly head in my life, I need to have something to reaffirm me. This is the importance of self-reaffirming, reaffirmation number one. You need to know who you are as an individual. You need to feel yourself first before you can even expect other people to come and affirm you. Because if you don't know who you are not going to be able to counsel yourself out of the problem. You're you're not going to be able to tell your problem that, you know what, I can make it out of this. You're not even going to be able to start thinking of a solution of the problem that you have. So you need to know who you are. For me personally, I don't know how people love themselves. I don't know how people find love for themselves. But I found it in God. I met Christ and I started knowing who I was in Him. And then I started knowing who He says I am. And I started looking at myself through the eyes that God looks at me. As His treasured possession. As His beloved. As His chosen child. As His child who He has put His purpose in me. For some, they find reaffirmation through other things. Some find it through spiritual help books that coach them. But find self-reaffirmation. That place where you can go to and say, you know what? And I'm saying you may have failed at this. You know what? You may have failed at this, but you can still try again. But you can rise. Oh, what lesson have I learned from this? Oh, what is it that I did wrong that I did not repeat again? Oh, what is it that I can take away from this? What can I tell the next person when they're going to embark on what I did to watch out for? Self-reaffirmation. Self-educating yourself. Self-educating yourself. Take every failure. Realize it as a stepping stone to success. Instead of saying, oh, I have failed. Instead of saying, oh, I nothing good can come out of this. Say, I have learned one more lesson. I have learned, you know, one more good thing that I need not do when I'm embarking on this journey. If it's the rejection, then you say, I have learned who is not for me. I have learned now, when I have difficulties, who to go to. Who will support me? Who will root for me? Who will say, you know, I want to see you succeed. Instead of focusing on the people who are saying, yeah, when I open it, when you're a failure, when no good can come out of you. Just take it that now I know who's not for me and who is for me. And stick with those people who are for you. Because they will speak positively into your life. Thirdly, learn to open up to people. If you cannot speak to those around you, believe me, my brother, believe me, my sister, talk to a stranger. The good thing about speaking to a stranger is this. They do not know you. They are unlikely to go and repeat the same words that you were telling them to someone. Even if they did, you know what they are going to say. I met this lady, she said, they're not going to call you by name. They won't know you by name. Most probably, you will see them for the last time. If not, they will forever be grappling, you know, battling with grasping the memory of your name to relate the story to. I have confided in strangers. When I've been away on holidays or I've been away, you know, on a retreat, when I felt something is overwhelming my spirit, is burdening my spirit, I've told people I don't know. I've just shared it with someone and said, you know what? I just need to talk about this. Can I share this with you? And I spoke about it freely, candidly, without fear of judgment. Someone who doesn't know me is unlikely to know me, to judge me. That is the truth. Be someone who can be trusted by people. That's another point that I'm making. If people confide in you, be trusted. Be trustworthy. You know, speak positively into their situation. If you have nothing to say, then keep quiet. Zip it. And just shush. Half the time when people confide in us, they just want to share. We don't have to say anything. All we have to do is listen. All we have to do is be that attentive ear. That can help someone. The last point that I want to make, ladies and gentlemen, let us stop the unrealistic standards that we impose on others. Let us stop the unrealistic expectations that we impose on people. If you look at the people, how they dress these days, if you look at how people dress, if you look at how people, you know, the cars that people drive, if you, it tells you that there is a certain measure of competition that is going on, sometimes within themselves, sometimes within their peers. If it's within themselves, then it's an extremely good thing. Because they are challenging themselves, they are motivating themselves. But if it's with the outside world, then it becomes a problem. Because then you are, you know, forced to want to keep up with the Joneses. You are forced to want to keep up with the workers. You don't know their source of income. You don't know how much money they have. or they don't have. You don't know how great in debt they are. So if you are going around trying to compete, you with wearing the Gucci's, wearing the LVs, wearing the, do it because you can afford it. If you are living in the best house, let it be because you can afford it. If you are driving the fanciest cars, let it be because you can afford them. Do not get in debt to impress other people. Do not get in debt to get yourself a social standing. Because those things are some of the things that oppress the mind. And as a result, they lead to suicide. My third attempt, I repeat, was solely on this reason. Financial standing. My financial position changed when I was dismissed from my job and I couldn't keep up with the life that I was living anymore. So the best solution for me became to end my life. Having said this, I want to encourage you, ladies and gentlemen. There are platforms you can reach out to any person. There's also Lifeline that you can reach out to. There is a number for Lifeline that you can use to contact them. There is also a number for Depression SA that you can use to contact them. I encourage you to use these numbers. Lifeline helps suicidal people. It's a 24-hour, 7 days a week line open. 0861-322-322. You can also call their helpline 0800 to contact a counselor. 0800-456-789. If you have any emergency on any person who is suicidal, that you pick up suicidal tendencies from, call 0800-567-567. Listen to me and listen carefully. We are not living in an era where suicide is taboo. We are living in an era where suicide is very much part of our daily lives. When matric results are released, a child commits suicide. When a marriage collapses, someone kills themselves. When a boyfriend dumps someone, someone kills themselves. That is, our society has normalized suicide. We are tolerating it long enough. And we are making peace with the fact that it can, roam our lives at any time. It's time we put a stop to it. And it starts with you. It starts with me. By this conversation and by openly speaking that, yes, I am successful. I am an entrepreneur. I'm very successful. I am an attorney. I am very successful. I am a pastor. I am very successful. But I do get overwhelmed with life. And each time that I pick up challenges, believe me, suicide is still something that I know that my mind is still comfortable with. By this conversation, I'm giving suicide a face. I don't want for people to rally around my kids when I'm dead. I don't want for people to rally around, my family and comfort them. I want people to comfort me now. I want people to mentor me now. I want people to counsel me now. To say to me, man of God, woman of God, a pastor, it's not the end of the world. You can rise up and beat this. Let's start doing that. Be that counselor. Be that mentor. Be that shoulder for the next person who may want to speak. Let them approach you. Give yourself 5 minutes of someone's time. It's not a lot to ask. Give yourself 3 minutes of someone's time. And next time when you meet someone, and you say, hello, how are you? When they start telling you how they really are, don't shy away. Don't shy away. Because I'm telling you, when you ask, how are you, be prepared to hear the real answer. I'm not fine. And when someone asks you, how are you, don't say I'm fine when you're not. Say openly, I'm not well. I'm battling with this. I'm battling with that. I challenge you today. I challenge you today. Be that ear. Saving lives starts with just opening your ear to someone. Lending your ear to someone. Lending your ear to someone. reassuring them, you can speak to me. You can speak to me. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm taking this opportunity once more. This is my book, The Mending of a Broken Vessel. Please get your copy. This book chronicles a lot of experiences of my own life. Why am I qualified to speak on the topic of suicide? And I intended to start with this because I am a suicide survivor. 3 times I attempted to take my life, but the Lord willingly, purposefully had his will that I live to tell my story. Can someone amongst you, can someone today on social media, can someone that you know live to tell their story just by watching this video? I want to share this with you before I go deeper into this book and I say goodbye. I saw a post by one young lady that I know, and I reached out to her. I don't know her personally. I know her on social media platforms. She follows me, and I saw her post, and I could tell this young lady is not well. And I sent her a WhatsApp. I sent her a message on Messenger, and I said, "You are a winner." I said, "You are such an accomplisher. Don't let no one tell you otherwise. Don't be hard on yourself. You know, you can overcome whatever it is that you're going through." And she said in response, "Mama, all I needed to hear were those words." And I said to her, "Each time that you feel like that, don't hesitate. I'm here for you. Reach out. I can talk to you at any time because I know what you're feeling. I know where you are. I know you see it as a big hole." Again, one young lady, she posted, "I have a habit of hating myself." And this is someone that I also follow on social media. I've met her once, and she loves my ministry, and she follows me. And when I saw that, I didn't keep quiet. Immediately, I reached out to her. I said, "Child, don't do this. You've got so much ahead of you. You've just passed your matric. You were looking so beautiful on your matric day. You know, I just love everything about you. Think about the hurt that you would cause your parents. Think about the hurt that you would cause me. Think about what lies ahead of you. Don't cut yourself. It's not worth it. There is so much to live for." And I began praying for her. All we need to do is, when we know of people who are going through difficulties, reach out. We don't wait for them to come to us. Sometimes you can see this lady is battling. Sometimes you can see this papa, this mama is battling. Reach out. Constantly check on them. A phone call doesn't cost anything. I trust that this video will be a blessing to someone. Get yourself a copy of this book. Exclusive Books, Bargain Books, CNA, PNA. Everywhere where books are sold, it's available. Get your copy. You can also get it from us by DM. And we'll also be starting the tour of this book. Announcements will be made in due course. And thank you so much for tuning in. If you need to get in touch with us, please do DM me on my social media platforms. I'll be able to respond to you and help you in as much as I can. I'm not a qualified psychologist. I'm not a qualified counselor. I am a pastor. What I know is the love of God. And I know that God has loved me through my worst failures. He has loved me through unspeakable things I have done. He has loved me through the lust of people. He has loved me where people rejected me. He has loved me where my marriage collapsed. He has loved me when I had difficult kids, when my children were being difficult at home. You know, God has loved me. God has reassured me. May God be the reassurance that you need. May the word of God be an encouraging tool in your life. I believe that this book is written for our healing. May you get it, and may you also be healed. God bless you. Bye-bye.